ప్రేమ సుఖ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభుత్వ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపు గోపుద శ్యామ పుణ్య రాధాకృష్ణి
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
ఓం నమో మహాదేవ వాసుదేవాయ
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
ఓం నమో మహాదేవ వాసుదేవాయ
విష్ణు వినాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్తాగులే శ్రీమతి భాగవరామ స్వామి నమస్తే సరస్వరదేవ గౌరవాన్ని ప్రసారాన్ని నడుపు శ్రీనివాస ప్రసాదాన్ని శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు రచన శ్రీ ద్వైత గదాదారు శివశ్రీ గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే
సుసమిద
పంచభి
ప్రణతోస్మి
యజ్ఞం
అగ్నిర్వాచ
By whose effulgence?
By whose effulgence?
Susamidateja. As luminous as blazing fire.
As luminous as blazing fire.
Avyam.
Offering.
Vahe. I am accepting. Svadvare. In the sacrifice.
Aja Siktam.
Mixed with butter.
That.
Yagyam. Protector of the sacrifice.
Panchavidam.
Panchavi. Five.
System.
Worship.
Yajubi.
Vedakim. Pranata.
Pranata.
After respectful obeisances.
Asmi.
Yagya.
Yagya.
Translation: Fire God said, "My dear Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because by your favor I am as luminous as blazing fire, and I accept the offerings mixed with butter and offered in sacrifice. The five kinds of offering, according to the Yajurveda, are all your different energies. And you are worshipped by five kinds of Vedic hymns. Sacrifice means your Supreme Personality of Godhead." Purport: In Bhagavad Gita, Shukadeva said that yagya should be formed for Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu has 1,000 popular transcendental names, out of which one is yagya. It is clearly said that everything should be done for the satisfaction of yagya or Vishnu. All other actions a person may take are only causes for his bondage. Everyone has to perform yagya according to the Vedic hymns. As stated in the Upanishads, fire, the altar, the auspicious full moon, the period of 4 months called the Chaturmasya, the sacrificial animal, and the beverage called soma are necessary requisites, as are the specific hymns mentioned in the Vedas and composed of 4 letters. One such hymn is as follows: Asravaya Chaturakshara Mastu Shrausha Iti Chaksharakshara Yajayati Dvavyamye Yajamaha. These mantras chanted according to the Smriti Smriti literatures are only to please Lord Vishnu. For the deliverance of those who are materially conditioned and attached to material enjoyment, performing yajna and following the rules and regulations of the 4 divisions of society and the spiritual life are recommended. It is said in the Vishnu Purana that by offering sacrifice to Vishnu, one can gradually be liberated. The whole target of life, therefore, is to please Lord Vishnu. And that is yajna. Any person who is in Krishna consciousness has dedicated his life for the satisfaction of Krishna, the origin of all Vishnu forms. And by offering worship and prasad daily, he becomes the best performer of yajna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated that in this age of Kali, the only successful performance of yajna or sacrifice is yajnaya sankirtana prayaya. The best type of sacrifice is simply to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. This yajna is offered before the form of Lord Chaitanya, as other yajnas are offered before the form of Vishnu. These recommendations are found in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Moreover, this yajna performance confirms that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Vishnu himself. As Lord Vishnu appeared at the Daksha Yajna long, long ago, Lord Chaitanya has appeared in this age except our Sankirtan Yajna. Translation, Fire God said, My dear Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because by your favor I am as luminous as blazing fire, and I accept the offerings mixed with butter and offered in the sacrifice. The five kinds of offerings, according to the Ayurveda, are all your different energies, and you are worshipped by five kinds of Vedic hymns. Sacrifice means your supreme personality and Godhead. So here the fire god, Agni, offers respects to Vishnu.
Now fire is worshipped in the fire sacrifice. So we may think that therefore Agni is the object of worship. But it is well known in the Vedas that Agni is only a transmitter. He receives the offering and burns it up. But the result is distributed to others, that is to Devatas and Vishnu, etc. So Agni is only the servant of the other Devatas, and he transmits the offering to them by burning it. So he has a particular function to perform in the rituals by consuming the offerings. Of course, we can also say that ultimately everything goes to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So he is the real Agni. He is the real person to whom the offering is made, though it is done via Agni. At the same time, in all the sacrifices, one can never forget to offer to Vishnu. Vishnu must be included in the sacrifice. So no one can exclude Vishnu from the sacrifice. As we saw previously, the Shiva and the Devatas had their share of the sacrifice. So everybody gets a share of the sacrifice. But as we know, ultimately everything belongs to Vishnu. So whatever they get as their offering actually also belongs to Vishnu. Everything belongs to him. So though technically we say that they accept the offering, actually it is an offering to Supreme Lord Vishnu, so he is the source of the Devatas, etc. And therefore, the correct mode of worshipping Devatas is to understand that they are only servants of the Lord. And actually we should offer them the prasadam of the Lord. And by this we indicate that they are his servants. So we don't offer directly to the Devatas, except if it is prasadam. And if we offer directly, then we're making them separate from the Lord. So to show that they're all linked to the Supreme Lord, we offer them the prasadam of Vishnu. In this way, the respect is maintained. So we can worship Devatas, but in that particular way, recognizing them as servants of Vishnu and not independent. So in Bhagavad Gita, though in chapter 3, Krishna says, worship the Devatas. In chapter 9, he says, don't worship the Devatas. Or don't worship them abhidhi purvakam, at least. That doesn't mean we should disrespect the Devatas, because in the Nectar Devotion, there is a list of the aparads. One of the aparads is to disrespect the Devatas. So we shouldn't do that. So we cannot disrespect Devatas. At the same time, we have to know the proper way of respecting them. So that, of course, is the same as respect for devotees. We don't worship the devotee as the Supreme Lord, but we understand that he is related to the Lord, and so we respect him. Oh, similarly, the Devatas have that type of respect, so we offer them respect in the proper way, not as independent entities. So here, all the Devatas are making that point that they are actually servants of the Supreme Lord, and therefore they are praising the Lord and saying, you are supreme, we are your servants. So here Agni does this. So of course the whole problem arose because of a sacrifice. They were Daksha was having a sacrifice, and at that sacrifice then the insults to Shiva took place, etc. So, and then they have more sacrifices, and again problems took place. So Agni is involved in all of this. So Agni himself is saying, I offer my respects to Vishnu. So he is not the object of the sacrifice, even though all these people are preoccupied with sacrifices. The real object of worship is Vishnu. So we know that in Treta Yuga, Homa was the Yuga Dharma. So that Yuga Dharma was not worship of Agni, even though it was sacrifice. It was simply a means to remember Vishnu, you know, because the verse says that it is all meant for worship of Vishnu. So what was worship of Vishnu in Treta Yuga was through Homan, through in Satya Yuga was through meditation, through Dwapara Yuga through deity worship, and Kali Yuga through Sankirtan. But it's all worship of Supreme Lord Vishnu, not Agni. So when we think of this sacrifice as the Yuga Dharma in Treta Yuga, that also is not worship of Agni, it is worship of Vishnu. It's simply another method of worship. So we can worship Vishnu through meditation, through fire sacrifice, through deity worship, or through Sankirtan. In any case, it's always Supreme Lord and not anyone else. So that is the point made here by Agni. He says, I offer my respects to you. Here he calls the Supreme Lord Yajna. Pranatosmi Yajna. I offer my respects to Vishnu, who is Yajna. He is doing this, he's recognizing the ultimate Yajna, or personality of the sacrifice, as Vishnu. So this is the proper understanding of the hierarchy. Though the Vedas mention many devatas, many personalities, we understand there's also a hierarchy there, who is higher and who is lower. So at the top is Vishnu. And all the devatas, such as Indra, Agni, etc., are below him. And among the devatas, Brahma's at the top. So we see that Brahma was were the devatas that were puzzled, so they went to Brahma to get a solution. And what did Brahma do? Then they all approached Shiva and asked for forgiveness. So in this way we have the hierarchy. And then what happens? Everybody worships Vishnu. So we have the devatas, then we have Brahma, then we have Shiva, and then we have Vishnu. So Vishnu appeared, and then all the different persons offered their respects. So we see Brahma and Shiva and all the devatas, including Agni, offer the respects to the Supreme Lord. So that is the main intention of all these prayers, to show that everyone is recognizing the superiority of Vishnu. So there's no question of them forgetting that, because they are empowered by the Supreme Lord. Though they are not avatars, they get special powers. So just as we have vibhutis in the Bhagavad Gita, different powerful entities in this material world, and Krishna says, I am Himalayas, I am the Ganga River, I am the Makara fish, I am the lion among the beasts, etc. So these are called vibhutis of the Lord, things with special powers. So similarly, the Manus and the Devatas are vibhutis of the Lord, so they're given some special powers by the Supreme Lord. So we have to respect them. They are designated by the Supreme Lord. So that is why in the Nectar Devotion that Rupa Goswami points out, they should not offend the Devatas, because they're also recognizing the Supreme Lord, and they're appointed by the Supreme Lord to do certain functions. One should not in any way interfere with them. Now, sometimes we criticize the Devatas. So that actually should not be done. We can criticize people who worship Devatas in the wrong way, yes. We should not criticize the Devatas. Because this is the injunction, do not blaspheme the Devatas, whatever. They're also devotees of the Lord. At the same time, we also recognize that in the hierarchy of devotees, they're also not at the top. So that is made clear in works like the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Laghu Bhagavatamrita, that the highest devotees are the devotees in Vrindavan, and then those in Dwarka. And then after that we get all the other persons, and then somewhere in there we get the devatas, etc. So they're devotees, but they're not in that highest category. So we cannot disrespect them. At the same time, we tend to worship other devotees who have attraction for Krishna, particularly exclusive attraction for Krishna. So they are not devatas, they are eternal associates of the Lord. They're actually in a higher category. They do not function in relation to services in the material world. Devatas are doing things in the material world. In the spiritual world, we have the eternal associates of the Lord. They are simply serving the Supreme Lord, not indirectly through the material world. They are simply directly serving the Supreme Lord. So they are put in a higher position. So that is why sometimes we disregard the devatas in favor of the devotees in Vrindavan. But we should not at the same time neglect these devatas or disrespect them in any way, because they are also devotees of the Lord. So many of them have a dasya relationship with the Supreme Lord, a friendly a servant relationship with Vishnu. So here that is made clear when they're all saying, I offer my respects to you, I offer my respects to you. They are understanding the high position of Vishnu as the Supreme Lord. So they have a lot of reverence for him. So here, Agni, how does he offer respects? He does so with his particular facilities. So Agni in the sacrifice is accompanied by mantras, Vedas. Here he offers respects to Vishnu through the mantras. So the altar here, in other words, the mantras are all meant for Vishnu. They glorify Vishnu. So there are many Vedic mantras, and some of these mantras are used in the fire sacrifice. But we should not think, oh, these are glorifications of devatas. They're actually glorification of Vishnu. So that's what he says here. I offer respects through the Vedic mantras. So he, through the Vedic mantras, we glorify Vishnu, no one else. So what about the devatas? The devatas are also mentioned in the Vedic mantras. Indra is mentioned, Shiva is mentioned, so many persons are mentioned. How is that glorification of Vishnu? So Madhvacharya says that actually all these names are primarily names of Vishnu. Indra means the king. Agni means the leader. Shiva means the most auspicious. So ultimately this is Supreme Lord. And the devatas are secondarily Indra, Shiva, Agni, etc. So ultimately, we can say all the mantras are names, all the names in the mantras are names of Vishnu, primarily, and secondarily of devatas. So in this way, all the mantras become Vishnu mantras. So that is how Madhvacharya explains the Vedas in terms of everything is Vishnu. So here he says, I offer respects to Vishnu through the Vedic mantras, chanting of the Vedic mantras, five types of mantras. What does one offer in the fire? One offers grains and ghee into the fire. These are the oblations. How is that pleasing? Offering some dry grains. We like to offer edible foods to Krishna, but here we get grains and ghee offered into fire. So the Vedas prescribe that these offerings are made into the fire, but just as we eat food, so the devatas are satisfied with that type of offering. And the same way the pitchers are satisfied with the sesame seed offering, the pindas, pinda balls. What it's not very tasty. But somehow they get the result of that, and they're satisfied with that. So it is not so much the actual offering as the intention, the devotion behind it. So similarly, what does Krishna have to do with material food? Nothing. It's all material. But he's interested in the devotion. So similarly, the havyam, that is the ghee and the grains, though it may look material, actually it is useful to offer to the fire because it will burn in the fire. And the devotion is the aspect which is accepted by the devatas and the Supreme Lord. So that is how the fire takes place. So the teja itself, the fire, and its ability to burn are ultimately coming from the Supreme Lord. He gives the power to certain material objects by which they get their qualities. So we know that fire is one of the five material elements. So that fire gets its power to burn and its power to give light because of the Supreme Lord. So he is empowering the fire to carry out his job of consuming the sacrifice. He's offering his respects to the Supreme Lord because he cannot exist without the blessings of Vishnu.
When you go to the devotees of Krishna, and not all of them, you go to the devotees.
It depends when they become completely pure. Some may be completely pure, and they go back to this, the Vaikuntha or wherever. Depends on the particular devata. Many are in Satvaguna. They're not completely pure. No, I said we don't criticize the Supreme Lord, but we sometimes criticize the worshippers of the devatas because they're not doing the proper method of worship. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant. So he says that also. But they should know the proper way of carrying out the worship. So most people do not even worship the devatas in the proper way.
Even worshiping the demigods, eventually they will take up the worship of Krishna.
No, it's not inevitable. It is hopefully they will, and therefore, actually, in the worship of devatas, you also have to worship Vishnu. You cannot simply worship one devata, you have to worship everybody, including Vishnu. Hopefully they'll become more attracted to Vishnu eventually. But it's not inevitable, they may not also. But that's the hope in karma, that they will eventually become exposed to Vishnu and then become devotional after that point.
The process of
devotional service.
We cannot say it was
a process of pure. No, it's also bhakti, because they attain the Supreme Lord by it.
Maharaj, in the 64 qualities, out of which Krishna possesses, 60 qualities are possessed by Vishnu. But the 59 qualities that they were of salvation to the enemies, he gives.
Yeah.
But so many times, I mean, they say that when Ravana fought with Lord.
Yeah. Actually, it says, doesn't actually say he gives liberation. He gives a good goal. That's the actual Sanskrit. So in the case of Vishnu, he often does not give liberation immediately. He won't give them liberation, just elevate them or whatever. And Krishna is very special.
Yeah. ஒன்றுதான் பிடிக்கலாம்.